This is Ozarks at Large. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith held a two-hour-long panel discussion this week following several weeks of public frustration after allegations of racial discrimination were made against one of the school's coaches. The incident received public attention when a letter from a basketball player and his parents began making rounds on social media. This was last month. The letter said the coach had discriminated against the player on the basis of his long dreadlocks. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek was at the panel discussion this week, and she has these highlights, which include the new university measures that the university hopes to keep such incidents from happening again.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
All right, that's what I like. I would like to welcome you all to Safe Space, Let's Talk About Race. My name is Christopher Hamilton, and I am the Vice President of the Black Student Association.
The University of Arkansas Fort Smith Black Student Association organized Tuesday evening's panel discussion after school leadership announced a former Lions basketball player was not racially discriminated against.
We would just like to thank you guys so much for coming out. I know this was a super quick event, but we know that this was a super important topic that needed to be discussed and needed to be discussed for a while. So thank you to all the community members that came out to support us.
The player, Tyler Williams, had alleged UAFS basketball coach Jim Boone told him he didn't like his hair and wouldn't recruit players with hair like his. Williams found the comments racist. According to Boone's attorney, Tom Mars, Boone had an old school policy that addressed the length of Williams' hair, not that he wears dreadlocks. The panel discussion was moderated by Dan Maher, an associate professor of anthropology and sociology at UAFS.
I do want to just point out quickly that the questions being asked here tonight are the questions being asked across the country, right? Fort Smith is just a microcosm of larger issues, larger conversations. So I think that's important to keep in mind.
In a statement released earlier this month, Boone's attorney said interviews with fellow players show Williams planned to leave UAFS, but wouldn't be able to get a waiver from the NCAA to keep playing without having to sit out a year unless he could show his transfer was the result of being mistreated. Tuesday's panel was made up of new UAFS Chancellor Teresa Riley, who arrived on campus in July, Director of Athletics Curtis Jans, Wesley Hooks, a UAFS Technical Coordinator and President of the LaFleur County NAACP, Ron Darbeau, Dean of the College of STEM and Interim Dean of the College of Health Sciences at UAFS, Crystal Lugin, Director of Behavioral Health at Baptist Health Fort Smith, and UAFS Police Chief Ray Ottman.
When it comes to the dialogue tonight, the evening is going to be broken into three sections: the past, the present, the future. The Black Student Association has come up with prepared questions for the panel.
Coach Boone released Williams from the team in August, following a meeting with him and his parents, where they discussed Boone's hair policy. Williams now plays for Southern Nazarene University in Oklahoma City.
I'll be asking the questions of the panel. And then at the end of each category, we'll pause and see if there's any questions from the audience. And there will be a couple students with the microphones running to you like Phil Donahue used to.
During Tuesday's discussion, Chancellor Teresa Riley outlined her newly announced plans to create a diversity and inclusion committee, which will help hire and inform a diversity and inclusion director, who Riley hopes will be in place by the end of the year.
Obviously, I want someone to have eyes on this, a seat at the table, helping every person not to lose sight of what is important, and that is having programs, policies, training, all of our environment set up in such a way that everyone is respected and heard. But I also recognize the fact that one individual should never be asked to carry the weight of representation for all of the groups that are underrepresented.
Athletic Director Curtis Jans also said the athletic department will create its own diversity and inclusion committee and bring back the Athletic Advisory Council. The idea was brought up by a member of the audience.
So at one point in time, there was the Lions Athletic Advisory Council from the previous administration in the athletic department. And we acted as eyes and ears, fingertips, toes throughout the community. So if something like this happened, we were here to say, you know what? Let's let this take its course and figure out what we can do behind the scenes and let you all know that, you know what? Something's actually being done as opposed to waiting 2 weeks to hear something from the administration at the institution. And so I challenge you publicly, Curtis, to reinstitute the Athletic Advisory Council.
You got a deal.
Chancellor Riley also responded to questions about the investigation into the allegations against Boone, which was carried out by the Human Resources Department.
They're limited to investigating what the allegation indicates, and that's what they investigated.
So we, in the investigation, we did not look at his past history.
There is no past history that we're aware of that would be investigated. It has to be based on the allegation brought forward.
And following a background check and interviews with colleagues, no other incidents came up in Boone's vetting process. Riley also said the university doesn't have any kind of hair policy.
No matter the outcome of this, we've made it very clear that there is no hair policy. I came out, and so to be fair, my statement to the campus and to all of the coaching staff is there is no policy on hair on this campus.
Between questions from the moderator, Alexis Brown, a member of the UAFS women's basketball team, told the panel she felt let down by what happened.
It's like, how can you expect my mom and my family back in Little Rock that's not here to trust here and to trust me to play here, which I really haven't had any situations, but it only takes one.
Brown said she would like Coach Boone to address the incident himself now that the investigation is over. Curtis Jans agreed.
I think our apologies are necessary, but if that's all we get out of this, we have all failed.
Another member of the panel, Dean Ron Darboe, called the incident and the discussion it's generated a teaching moment for everyone involved, including the broader Fort Smith community.
There's a line from one of my favorite authors that says, "There can never be justice so long as laws are absolute. And you risk crushing people if you take an absolute zero tolerance policy." I firmly believe, in the transformative power of education. And if all we do is discard people without having that conversation and doing a recalibration, we are doing a disservice.
The evening's discussion also touched on numerous other questions, like do UAFS policies and practices inadvertently or implicitly support white advantage? Here's Chancellor Riley.
Of course, institutions that were founded almost 100 years ago were founded to educate the people of the area and primarily of white people. When you build an organization with privilege, there are inherently going to be systems of privilege that are part of that organization.
And here's panelist Wesley Hooks responding to a question about how the white community can become a better ally in fighting racism.
As the Caucasian community, you have to understand that we are just as gifted as white America is. We are just as educated as white America is.
Fort Smith City Director Andre Good was also in the audience and spoke after the panel had been asked the last question prepared by the Black Student Association.
When I ran for the board of directors 12 years ago, I had dreadlocks to the middle of my back. So for that coach to tell this player that that's not what we want to represent who we are, and I was elected on a very small margin of black votes, but I appreciate every vote I got, but it was to represent you. What does the university say about the city being represented by someone like me who had dreadlocks, like someone like Mr. Williams that had dreadlocks?
And while he appreciated the conversation, Good said an apology and acknowledgement from the coach need to happen along with the other steps that were discussed.
Now, if the university doesn't have a policy about hair, what happened to the student? Why is he not here? And if that is the case, if you don't have a policy in place about hair, why is the coach still on staff?
Chancellor Riley offered this response.
I also need to be really clear that I believe that people can do better, will be held to much higher expectations. But I've had discussions with the team that are outside of this investigation where they've come forward very much in favor of their coach that they all indicated, including our students with dreadlocks who are on the team, that they absolutely believe in him, that they want him as their coach, that they've never heard him say any of those things.
Black Student Association President Carissa Cole told the crowd they didn't extend a formal invitation to the coach, but the event was open to everyone. The chancellor also mentioned that it will be up to Boone to make a statement if he chooses to do so. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzanna Sitek.
UAFS basketball coach Jim Boone was hired in April after working for Delta State University in Cleveland, Mississippi. He was brought onto the campus after the previous coach, Justin Bailey, who is African American, resigned in February following a DUI arrest in December on a university-related trip. Several months later, Bailey was cleared of all charges.